This is One Man's Family. One Man's Family is dedicated to the mothers and fathers of the younger generation and to their bewildering offspring. Today, transcribed, we present Chapter 11, Book 71, entitled A Homemade Bread and Applesauce Peace Offering. It is afternoon at the Sky Ranch. Out on the new side porch, which projects out over a canyon and looks squarely up to the Redwood Mountain, Paul is frowning over a new book, and Clifford, standing at the porch rail, is staring moodily out on the warm afternoon vista.
Oh, what is it, Cliff? Introspection or just like the scenery, huh?
Oh, it's nothing. I'm just standing here staring.
Not feeling low, are you?
No. Daydreaming, I guess. Go ahead and read your book. I'm all right.
Well, come sit down. My eyes are beginning to tire and my patience is gone.
Book no good?
Not very. I can never get used to a good author writing a bad book.
I wouldn't know. I prefer the view. I don't see how anyone can read in the daytime. I can't.
Oh, it's relaxing. Sit down.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Bothers me when I see you looking pensive. Everything okay?
Oh, sure. I feel a little mixed up once in a while, you know, trying to piece things together, trying to recapture those lost 11 years.
Yeah, it's confusing, all right. I wouldn't fight it, though.
I'm not, Paul. And I don't feel depressed or anything like that.
Good. If you can just keep hold of that happy outlook you've developed, I'm sure everything's going to work out.
Yeah, I think it will. And I've got plenty of incentive now that Andy and I are getting on a good, solid basis. Knowing that I've got to make a good life for him helps to take my mind off myself. For the first time, I feel as if I really want to work and make something of myself for Andy, if for nothing else.
Sounds like a pretty healthy attitude to me.
As soon as summer's over, I want to get in and really hit that ball. I don't know what doing, but I'll find something.
Sure you will.
I wish I knew how this Roberta deal was going to work out, though. It's kind of a tough situation.
How do you mean?
Well, I don't quite know what to do about it. I'm crazy about her, and sometimes I think I should just go ahead and marry her. Oh, assuming she'd have me, of course.
Wouldn't have much doubt on that score.
Yeah, I think she likes me all right.
That falls in the department of understatement. The gal loves you, and you know it.
Well, anyway, when I get thinking about marriage, there's so many things that pop up and get in the way of it.
Such as?
Well, as I told you, Bert, I just seem to be bad medicine for women. Look what happened with Anne. And the other marriage with Irene, which I can't remember. Nothing but calamity.
But it doesn't follow the same thing would happen with Roberta. That's being completely unrealistic, Cliff.
Maybe. But there's Andy, too. Send him into an awful tailspin. Here he is just finding his father for the first time in his life, and then he loses him to some woman. No, not that he would lose me. But that's the way he'd look at it. As much as told me so.
Maybe right now he'd react that way, but you don't have to rush into this thing. Don't think that you've got to make a decision today or this week. Maybe you're making the mistake of feeling that there's a great urgency about it. That you're faced with a problem, you've got to hurry up and get it settled. You don't, and you shouldn't. You've been through a pretty stormy period.
You're telling me.
So don't you think it might be wise to withhold making decisions a bit until your life is running on a more even keel? Until you're sure that your emotions aren't getting in the way of your good judgment?
Well, that's an idea, anyway.
And as far as Skippy, Andy is concerned, it's natural he should cling to you so fiercely right now. But once he feels secure in you, that your love for him is real and enduring, that intense desperation will disappear. He'll lose that urge to hang on and not share you with anybody else.
I sure hope you're right. Thanks, Paul. I needed a new viewpoint, I guess. You're good for a person, you know that. You're a funny old guy.
Don't let this gray hair fool you, my boy. I've still got a kick or two left in me.
When I said old, I didn't mean old.
I know what you meant. Don't let it bother you.
Well, I was going to say that you're always encouraging somebody else to get married, but you shy away from it like the plague. You think it's so wonderful, why don't you do it yourself?
You pushing me into a corner?
Everybody tells me what a swell gal Nicolette is. Doggone, Paul, I look at her and look at her. Someone I've known for years before my accident, and now she's a complete stranger to me. Just because she falls in that 11 years of blankness.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, she is a swell girl.
No question about it.
Well, why don't you marry her?
I see what you mean. Your logic is unanswerable. Maybe I better take refuge in my book.
No, you're not going to get off the hook that easy. Where's Dan? I'll get him to back me up. Hey, Dan!
Hi!
Coming up here on the porch.
Okay.
Now, there's a fellow with the right temperament for marriage. Solid as a rock.
Yeah, it sounds like a council of war.
I need your help, Daniel.
Who's the bookish gentleman here?
This gentleman, Mr. Murray, is my eldest brother, who gives good advice to others, but will never use it on himself.
Looks a little sheepish right at the moment.
Yeah, I've just worked him to a corner, and he's trying to figure some way to get out of it. And he probably will.
An artful dodger?
Oh, are you kidding?
Well, come on, man. Speak up. What have you got to say for yourself?
Well, you two go soak your head. What have you been up to?
Yeah, you're right, Cliff. See how he tries to change the subject?
Didn't I tell you?
Well, at least, what seems to be the burden of the argument?
Oh, same old story. Always somebody trying to marry me off. If I had your nature, Dan, I'd get married tomorrow.
To whom, may I ask?
Well, I was assuming there was someone who was willing to take a long chance. This is all hypothetical, you know.
Yeah, sure. Pure fantasy.
Oh, I wonder if you're the type who'll go along till you're about 60 and then fall madly in love with some chit of a girl about 19 or 20.
That does it, boys. I saw it.
Oh, hey, Claude, let me carry that tray.
Look what's coming up.
Thanks, Cliff.
Yeah, looks like drinks around the house.
Good idea.
Here, Cliff, let's set it right here. Would you mind moving your arm, Paul, so Cliff can set this tray down?
Oh, I'm sorry.
How's iced tea on a warm afternoon?
Yes, tea. The English influence of our host, Nicholas Lacey, no doubt.
On the other hand, entirely the idea of his wife, Claudia.
Well, don't stand on ceremony, gal. Pour out a liter or two of the ambrosia.
Oh, so that's the mood you're in this afternoon, Paul.
Hey, Clifford, watch that lemon. You got me right in the eye.
It's good for you. It makes him sparkle.
Yeah, just call me Red Eye.
Aren't you going to sit down and have some with us, Claudia?
No, you boys go ahead. I've got things to do. Nicky hasn't come back yet, has he?
I haven't seen him.
I didn't know he was away.
Oh, he and Ben found some of the fence down at the back of the place yesterday. Today they're mending it.
And here we sit like a bunch of slugs. Your conscience bother you, Paul?
Nope.
Well, if Nicky had wanted help, he'd have asked for it, so relax.
Oh, relax, he said.
Any further relaxation in this department, you'll have a chair full of jelly.
What a horrible prospect.
That's the trouble with country life. Everyone's too energetic.
Well, don't worry. All that ended when you arrived.
Headline, Paul Barber slows country life down to a run.
Everybody's picking on me today.
Yeah, making a play for sympathy now, Cliff.
Yeah, I got it.
Well, I'll leave you to fight it out. Anything else you want?
Hey, you got any watermelon? A little fruit, maybe?
No, we haven't any watermelon or a little fruit, maybe. I'll see y'all later.
Okay. Well, thanks,
man. Yeah. Nice sister you boys have. Glad I married into the family. Can I pour anybody some more?
No more for me. I'm on my second glass already.
Oh, thanks, Will.
I gotta be leaving this charming company.
Hey, you're going.
Have to. But don't think it hasn't been fun, because
it hasn't.
We're way ahead of you. You're too fast for me today.
Well, wait a minute, Dan. I'll go with you.
Hey, you're going to leave me all alone.
You'll be all right. Here comes the energetic Nicholas.
Oh, hiya, Nicky. How's the squire?
Quite all right, Clifford.
Quite all right.
Take care of our little brother there, will you? He's going to... Who's that?
Oh, you mean Paul? Yeah. Well, good afternoon, Paul.
Well, Nicky, get your fences mended?
Almost. I left old Ben to finish up.
Claudia brought out a pitcher of iced tea. Extra glasses there. How about pouring you some?
Nice, that's service.
A pleasure.
There's a rumor going around that there's new
homemade bread cooling in the kitchen, and I heard something about applesauce, too, if you're hungry.
Well, isn't it Father Barber's favorite delicacy?
Yes, it is.
It looks like a ponderous book. What are you reading?
I'm really not reading it. I'm just giving it up.
Not so good, eh?
Nothing more irritating to pick up a book by a favorite author and discover he's written nothing but drivel. I... Say, Nicky, something bothering you?
No, not really. How did I just stop at the hammock on the way up? Tell me, is Father Barber feeling all right?
Dad? I think so, why?
Just wondered. Oh, do you happen to know where Claudia is?
Kitchen, I imagine. Said she was busy being a housewife.
Now, look her up. Let her know I'm back, will you?
What's this about Dad, Nicky?
Touchy about something. Sore. Reminds me of the biblical story of Job and his boils.
Well, come back out when you've seen Claudia, and I'll unfold the tale about the head of the house of Barber. This is definitely not his good summer.
Well, it sounds fascinating. Save it for me.
Hello, Uncle Nicky.
Well, who's this? But Margaret. Here now. Why are you sitting in this gloomy corner, pray tell?
Oh, I just feel gloomy.
Do you indeed? Well, see here, old girl, look at me. Why, you've been crying.
No. Anyhow, not lately.
What's the matter? Isn't there something an old uncle can do?
There isn't anything anybody can do, Uncle Nicky.
As bad as that? Why am I?
I've lost the best friend I ever had in the world.
The best friend you ever... Why, that's your grandfather.
I've lost him.
Oh, see here, I doubt that very much. He seems to be a bit out of sorts, perhaps. But you know your grandfather, Margaret. Here, may I sit down here beside you?
If you want to.
There. You know, he sometimes like the sort of summer thunderstorm they have back east. You've never seen one of those, have you?
Well, I've never been back east.
Well, anyway, suddenly there'll be a hush, and the birds stop singing, the leaves on the trees grow quiet, the dark clouds gather, the hush deepens. Then suddenly comes a brisk, windy, rain-spitting storm.
Really?
Quite. And then, just as suddenly, the sun comes out, and everything's sparkling fresh and better than ever. Well, that's the way your grandfather is, sometimes.
Well, this time it's different.
Well, how could it be so different?
Oh, I can't talk about it. Only I'm not his favorite granddaughter anymore.
You don't tell me. Well, I can't believe it.
And it's my own fault, Uncle Nicky. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to sit here.
All right, old girl. Tell you what, son. If you need an uncle to carry messages or run errands, you know which one to call on.
Thank you very much. Hey, Uncle Jack!
Excuse me, Mart. I didn't see you sitting on the stairs.
Jack, what's the hurry?
Oh, sorry. I got to get some bicarbonate of soda.
What's that? For who?
Elizabeth Sharon Ann. Seems to have a stomach upset.
She's Grandfather's new favorite granddaughter.
Yeah, I beg your pardon, Mom.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Sharon Ann. When Grandfather dropped me, spent the whole day with Sharon Ann.
You don't say.
Mm-hmm. He got a ride into Redwood City with him when he mailed some packages to Pinky up in the lumber camp. And we bought her a taffy apple and some popcorn and a sack of fresh roasted peanuts.
Mm.
She wasn't supposed to eat them all, but she did.
I see. Well, if you'll pardon me, I think I'll go out into the kitchen.
I'll pardon you, Uncle Nicky. I'd just as soon be alone.
You can't blame Dad. He told her to share them with the other children. She went back to the stables and ate the whole shebang all by herself.
Oh, Nicky, I didn't know you were back. Excuse me just a moment, darling.
Righto.
Here you are, Jack. Don't let her drink all of it. Just have her sip it.
Oh, thanks, Claudia. Where did Hazel go?
She went up the back stairs. She's trying to find a serving tray. Someone left it in one of the bedrooms.
I think I'll go up the back way myself. See you later, Nicky.
Righto. Hair in your eyes, perspiration on your very lovely nose.
Oh.
Well, you look as though someone had chained you to the kitchen stove, Claudia.
Hazel and I baked bread and made applesauce.
Yes, I noticed when that came out. It's a mouth-watering fragrance. But why didn't you let our very efficient Mrs. McCullough do it?
We had to do something personally. I went down to apologize to Father, and he just wouldn't talk to me. I don't know whether he's putting it on and enjoying it or whether he's really hurt.
Do you mind if I say I'm in a bit of a fog?
Well, it's because of what happened at the swimming pool.
Yes, Claudia, my dear, I just got in. I've been mending fences
with
them.
Oh, darling, I forgot. Well, a perfectly dreadful thing happened. Hazel and Joan and I were in swimming. We thought we were utterly alone.
Mm-hmm.
But that big chair, you know, the big green one with the tall back that usually faces the swimming pool?
Yes.
Well, we didn't notice, but it was turned around to face the barbecue.
And?
Well, we were in the pool chatting away, utterly unaware anyone was in the chair.
Father Barber?
Yes, Nicky. He'd been dozing there, I guess. Oh, I don't know. We can't remember everything we said, but...
Aunt Hazel, Claudia... Oh, hello, Nicky.
Well, don't you look perky in that sunsuit? Sweet and fresh as a new summer morning.
Well, Grandfather doesn't think so. You went down to his hammock?
Yes, and I really tried. Honestly, I did. I don't think he's pretending either. I think he's just as mad as he can be.
Oh, see here.
Well, what did you say to him?
Oh, I pulled up a chair and tried to talk about my job at the airport and how wonderful it's been to work there this summer and be my own boss a little. And do you know how I find out he's really mad and not just pretending?
How?
He didn't even bring up Kenny Arthur or the worry I'd caused everybody. He didn't even mention that. He just looked right through me and grunted and said yes and no until I couldn't stand it anymore.
Say, what in heaven's name did you and Hazel say about him?
Nicky, we can't even remember everything we said. Perhaps it sounded terribly critical to anyone listening, but I know we didn't more than half mean it. Oh, it couldn't have been so very serious. We've said worse things to his face many times.
Well, at first, Nicky, we thought he was pretending to be angry because he enjoyed it. You know, as if it was sort of a joke on us to have us in such an embarrassing position. But now it's been going on, well, it seems like forever.
Well, you must remember something of what you said.
Well, we were talking about a dress Mom was interested in and how Dad was always saying women's clothes were ridiculous prices. And, well, I just kind of wondered if maybe he was getting a little pinch penny in his old age.
My dear girl, there isn't a more generous man alive than Father Barber.
Well, I told you it was half-joking. Silly gossip and woman talk. You know the way we talk sometimes. He should understand that.
Maybe it was Margaret who really hurt him. I think maybe it was.
Oh, you back already, Nicky?
I hear you've been on a search for a serving tray.
And of all places to find it, in the children's bathroom.
Missing serving tray seems to be the least of our troubles.
Yes.
Poor Father. If we've really hurt him, I don't know what we're going to do. Is the bread cool enough?
I think so. I'll slice some.
He likes nice thick slices with lots of butter.
Oh, shall I get some cream?
Would you, Joan? Put it in the polka dot pitcher. That's his favorite pitcher. And is there soft butter?
There's some over here.
Would you put it on the tray, Nicky? I'll fix a big bowl of fresh applesauce.
Well, won't he say this lusty morsel is going to spoil his dinner?
He sent Skippy up on the motor scooter to say not to bother about his dinner. He said he was toying with the idea of driving Mom into town.
And you know how he hates restaurants.
I see. I've got to catch up on this. I want to hear all... Oh, hello, Jack.
Well, it happened. Now she says she's hungry. She wants bread and milk. You think it's all right?
Any temperature, Jack?
Not a degree. You suppose bread and milk would hurt her?
I don't see how. There's a bowl there, Jack. The bread's already sliced. Help yourself.
You know, Hazel, for years I've told Betty that certain penalties went with being a favorite granddaughter.
How right you are.
Remember the time Dad took Margaret to that carnival?
Will I ever forget it?
Spun candy, peanuts, gooey popcorn balls. I told Betty that night, I said, the old law of compensation never misses. If our kids aren't Dad's favorites, at least they have healthy stomachs. There. A spoon. I'll see you all later. It's quite a life.
Will you open the door for me, Joan, dear?
I'm not going with you, Hazel.
Oh, well, we've all tried apologizing. Now I'm going to be very casual about this. Let me find out if he's really hurt.
Thank you, Joan, dear.
Well, you're welcome, Aunt Hazel.
Hey, Hope. Too bad. I say, how about a slice of bread for an old cowhand?
Spoil your dinner.
Well, now, spoil it in noble cause, then. It looks delicious.
I'll fix you just one slice, Nicky.
With butter and sugar, no doubt.
What do you think, Joan?
Oh, he looks deserving. I'd fix it the way he wants it. Oh, where's Uncle Paul?
He's on the new porch with a good author who's written a bad book.
Oh, there's nothing worse than a bad book for company. Maybe he needs me. Oh, call me if you need me.
Yes, Joan. There, how's that?
Claudia.
Yes, Nicky?
Is Margaret in real trouble?
Yes. Frankly, Nicky, I think if Dad's really hurt, that's the thing that's hurt him. Margaret came out and Hazel said something. We can't any of us remember just what it was. And Margaret said, I've got Grandfather right in my pocket. And he was listening.
In her pockets? Is that so outrageous?
When a child talking about her grandfather, yes. Bragging that she could wind him around her little finger.
It's an odd, sophisticated expression for a little girl.
Oh, she'd heard somebody else say it, of course, but... He has spoiled her, you know, and she's very cocky about her influence with him. I think that's what hurt him, if anything really did.
Well, old girl, Hazel's the one to smooth it over. After all, she was a favorite daughter herself, wasn't she?
So we made fresh bread and applesauce and everything just the way you like it, Father.
Yes.
We wanted some little tangible thing to show you how actually we love you very much.
Just put it down, Hazel.
Aren't you hungry?
No, not right now.
I'll put paper napkins over it. You have it when you want it. There were postcards from Pinky in the afternoon delivery.
So?
One for each of us. I forgot to bring yours down. Last night I wrote and asked him to please tell us when he's coming home. It'll be wonderful to see him again, won't it? Such a long summer away. I'll bet he's grown.
Hazel.
Yes, Father?
I don't really mind about that swimming pool incident, my dear. The things you girls said, there was love underneath all the bantering and even the criticism. That isn't what I mind, Hazel.
Then, Father, what...
I was shocked. I don't believe I have ever been so shocked as when Margaret, my own little Margaret, stood there and said in that flippant, impertinent way, I've got Grandfather right in my pocket.
We think she's heard someone else say it and was just repeating it, Father.
Yes, yes, of course. I know that. It's the attitude that so disturbed me. The notion that when she's being gay and companionable with me, Hazel, she's actually using me. Secretly making sport of me.
Father, I've told you. You've spoiled her. You have a tendency to spoil children, you know. You talk about teaching them the hard way, but... You don't practice what you preach.
Don't fuss at me, Hazel. Don't fuss
at me. I'm sorry, Father. I'm just as sorry as I can be.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's nice of you girls to win back my favor with bread and butter and applesauce and cream. After a little while, I'll try it.
Margaret wanted to come down and talk to you again.
Oh, if you don't mind.
All right. I'll tell her not to come.
She was always such a sweet little girl. Well, I'll see you later, Hazel. You can run along if you wish to. You're busy, you know, dear.
All right, Father. Just call out if you want anything.
Yes. Wonderful smell. New homemade bread. Fresh applesauce. Cream. Delicious. Delicious.
Grandfather.
Huh? Margaret. I told your mother I didn't want you to come down here.
She didn't tell me not to come.
What do you want?
I want to say I'm sorry.
For what?
For what I said.
And what was it you said, Margaret? Huh? What was it you said that you are now so sorry about?
I don't want to repeat it.
Oh, but I want you to. You are sorry, you say. You have come down here repeatedly against my wishes because you are so sorry. Well, just what are you so sorry about, then? Repeat it.
I'm sorry I said I had you in my pocket.
Yes, yes. Just what did you mean by that?
Well, I don't know. Aunt Betty said it first.
Yes, but you do know what it means, don't you?
Yes.
And what is it?
It's supposed to mean that you love me so much that you'd do anything for me if I asked you to. That I was your favorite grandchild.
You know, I looked up. I was sitting there in that chair. And I could not believe my ears. A supercilious, prideful little voice saying, I've got Grandfather right in my pocket. I think of you, as I've always thought of you, Margaret, as the prettiest, the sweetest, the most generous little girl I have ever known. Yes, that is the way I have thought of you for all these years. But then you said that, and I wondered if all the nice times we've had together weren't real companionship at all, but just you pretending that you loved me because you had me in your pocket.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Grandfather.
I myself thought that at first. Oh, no, I said. No. Why, the full realization of what my little granddaughter had said didn't reach me, my dear, until much later when I came down here to my hammock. And then I thought, we have got to revise our relationship.
You want me to go away?
I don't see that there's anything further to discuss, do you, my dear? You will learn now that love and friendship are a two-way relationship. Yes, people love one another truly, or it isn't any good. Love isn't a contest to see if you can take an old man's heart and put it in your pocket.
Oh, Grandfather.
That'll do, Margaret. Run up to the house now, if you please. I'm going to have a little snack here, quietly, all by myself.
Are you still reading that book, Paul? Seems to me you've been at it all day, hasn't he, Nicky?
A slow reader, undoubtedly.
No, frankly, I've bogged down. I've given the author every chance to redeem himself, and he's failed me on every count.
Mm. How dare an author treat his reader so badly?
Oh, come on, sit down. I'm delighted. Joan was here for a little, and she decided to go swimming. I was beginning to feel bored with myself.
Well, we'll take care of the boredom, because we have a poser for you.
Oh, fire away. My shoulders are broad and my intelligence narrow, to give you the long and short of it.
The lad's perky today, Claudia.
Yes, you should hear some of his corny humor.
Yes. You say you had a problem, madam?
No, not really. We just wanted to talk something over with you, because it concerns Joan.
Oh, what now?
Go ahead, Claudia.
Well, something Joan brought up in connection with that boy, Ken Arthur.
Incidentally, how right you were in letting her go down to see the boy in Redwood City. You don't know what you did for your relationship with her.
Well, that's exactly what we want to talk about. You see, we hadn't realized that Joan felt we'd been remiss in not making some effort to get to know the lad.
Oh? She said so?
Well, she feels maybe we're being a little snobbish because he's poor or something like that. As a matter of fact, we just never gave the boy much thought. Except for that one night, of course.
As far as Claudia and I are concerned, we'd be delighted to have him here.
Nicky, darling, we're literally pouring words into Paul's ear, and the poor man hasn't said a word.
Oh, quite. Sorry, Elva.
Go ahead. This is interesting. I want to hear about it.
Well, we thought it would be nice to ask Ken to come up next weekend. But...
Oh, yeah. I know. What to do about Dad.
Yes. Yeah. We can't have him up here and have Dad acting antagonistic. That would be awful both for Joan and the boy.
Mustn't even think of it.
So what do you think, Paul, old boy? Should we try to maneuver Father Barber off the place next weekend and make young Arthur's visit clandestine, or should we try to win him over to the idea?
Of course, this all may be for nothing. He might not be able to come, or he might not want to. But we've got to be prepared in case he does.
Well, it seems important that we make Joan feel right about it by extending an invitation. And no delay, either.
Yeah, I think she'd feel very grateful.
Well, now about Dad. We could let Mom in on it and arrange to have her getting back to San Francisco on some excuse.
I don't think I'd use any subterfuge about it at all. You'd mind him to find out and just be hurt that he was sent away. Besides, the Sky Ranch belongs to you. Why shouldn't you feel free to ask any guest you want?
Quite true. But we don't want any unpleasantness because of Joan and the boy.
Why not put it point blank to Dad? Tell him that's what you plan to do and warn him if he kicks over the traces, we'll lock him in his room till Ken leaves.
Oh, what a solution that is.
Uh-oh, here he comes. He's been down in that hammock for hours. I wonder what jarred him loose.
Still doesn't look as though he'd entirely recovered his humor.
Well, even our father can't lie in his hammock, world without end.
Hello, Dad. Come join us.
Yes, yes.
What's the matter? Get tired of the hammock?
Oh, I've been down there long enough.
Will you join us, sir?
Go for a minute or two. Where's your mother, Claudia?
She's around back at the swimming pool watching the little children.
Yes. Don't think I've seen her since early morning. Gives all her attention to the children.
Dad.
Huh?
Nicky and I want to ask you a favor.
Very well, my dear. I hope I'll be able to grant it.
Well, it's really a very small one and requires no effort on your part, whatever.
Yeah.
Except maybe to restrain yourself a tiny little bit.
Why don't you stop beating about the bush and come out with it?
We were just talking to Paul here about it when you came along.
Yes, well, if you've talked to Paul, I imagine the matter is pretty well settled, isn't it?
Yes, always the innocent bystander who gets shot.
Well, now, don't you and Paul get started. Dad, Joan feels hurt that we've never met Ken Arthur.
Ken Arthur?
Yes, you know, the boy she was...
The grease monkey. Yes, I've never met him either. I consider it no great misfortune.
Well, we feel it's important to Joan that we make some sort of gesture. Socially, that is.
I don't see how I answer it to this.
Well, we were considering asking him to spend a weekend here at the Sky Ranch.
Well, I have nothing to say about what you do here. This is your property. I'm only a guest myself, a grateful one, I might add.
They know all that, Dad. What they're afraid of is that if the boy comes up here, you might make it so uncomfortable for him that he'll leave feeling bad and Joan will be hurt.
Well, I've tried to make it clear that as far as that relationship is concerned, I have completely withdrawn from it. Now, if you want your daughter to be associated with that particular boy, it's none of my affair.
What do you mean, that particular boy? Don't you think he's good enough for us? Is that it?
I believe I spoke quite clearly.
But, Dad, you've never met him. How can you judge him?
I judge him by what he's done. That's enough for me. Let me say this, however, that your fear about my conduct, if he should be a guest here, is groundless.
Oh, see here, sir. It wasn't that. It was just that we knew you felt somewhat prejudiced against the lad. We didn't want to do anything to embarrass you.
Well, you may rest assured that I shall do nothing to disturb the harmony if he comes.
Thank you, Dad.
Very well. Well, you'll excuse me. I'm going around and see if I can find Fanny.
Well, we know where we stand at any rate.
Yes. I'll have Joan call Ken up tonight and ask him.
Brother.
I hope he won't be able to come.
Why,
the poor kid will be miserable. Dad'll be such a gentleman, I think Ken'd enjoy himself more if they had a good knockdown, drag out fight.
You've just heard Chapter 11, Book 71 of One Man's Family, written, produced, and transcribed under the direction of Carlton E. Morse. Chapter 12, entitled The Return of the Second Assistant Cook, will come to you next week at this same hour. One Man's Family comes to you from California. It's tomorrow night, the Fibber, McGee, and Molly anniversary party on NBC.